Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're also brought to you by PrizePicks. PrizePicks is DFS simplified. Head over to PrizePicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. We're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social media betting revolution at SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the head-to-head matchups. Download the app today and just head over to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome everyone to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode number 250 for the NBA Gambling Pod. It is Friday, November 26th, 11:04 on the East Coast. And joining me today to break down the 12-game NBA schedule, it's going to be the SGPN's man that does it on and off the court, frequent contributor for the website at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and co-host of his own radio show, the usual suspect, Scott Reichel. Scott, how are you doing this Friday morning, man, coming off Thanksgiving?
Doing pretty well. I am starting to feel less full than I was yesterday, which is a step in the right direction. But two of the football games were close. I can't say that two of them were good, but one of them was the one in the middle. And then you had the Bills game, which I don't think anybody cared for, which was actually perfect because everyone was in a food coma anyway. So it's not like they were actually paying attention to the overall game. But yeah, overall, had a good holiday. Always nice to spend time with the family. But now it's time to get back to work. Unfortunately, there was no NBA on yesterday, which means we got a lot of teams in action today.
Yeah, like Scott said, yeah, we have a 12-game schedule tonight. I think we had 13 on Wednesday. NBA had the night off last night. How was your betting? How'd your betting go yesterday?
Overall, it was okay. I didn't really have that much involved. I had a couple player props, which did not work out for the NFL. I had Waller longest reception, 22.5 yards. He had a 21-yard reception and got injured and then didn't play for the rest of the game. So that was unfortunate, but it happens, part of gambling. But besides that, I'm still a little bit salty at Lou Dort for my best bet on the prop cast the other day. Over 3.5 rebounds, had 3 at halftime, played 37 minutes, finished with 3. Are you serious? You can't grab one rebound in the second half. Really? You're going to do that to me? Come on,
Dort. Yeah, that's the
That's the industry that we're in. And I think I gave out, I think mine was DeAndre Ayton.
They just stopped using him. He was great against Cleveland. They just didn't use him for half the game.
Yeah, he only played 27 minutes. I don't know what happened there. I mean, JaVale McGee was out there for 20 minutes and he grabbed 13, or he had 13 points and 12 rebounds. But whatever, man. Like you said, that's just the industry that we signed up for to be in. You know, you'll win some, you'll lose some, but it is what it is. One more point I wanted to get to before we get into the games here. That scoreboard from Wednesday night started to kind of look like the usual scoreboard that we're typically seeing, I guess we can say, with a lot of points finally being scored. Do you think the tide is starting to turn here a little bit, or it was probably just, you know, certain matchups where with the lack of defense there and scoring was up?
Well, I think it might be a bit of a case study with some teams. I'll get into a team I'm sure we're going to talk about when it comes to overs, but
yeah.
It seems like the league, for the most part, is starting to adjust. Mm-hmm. Are the referees calling more? No. But I think the players have stopped looking for the constant calls, and they actually have started to try to, believe it or not, finish layups instead of just yelling at the ref halfway through their shot. So I do think that the players have started to learn. They're pivoting. So that might lead to a couple of low totals sparingly.
Yeah.
But I do think as a whole, when you're getting less free throw attempts per game from every single team, mm-hmm. you're naturally going to see less points.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that was just something that I noted when I was, you know, looking at the box scores on Wednesday night that, yeah, scoring was up a little bit. But we'll get into that as we kind of get through the games here. So let's just dive right into it, Scott. Let's lead off with the first game that's going to be tipping off in a couple hours here. We have the Detroit Pistons headed to LA to take on the Clippers, where the Clippers are a 11.5 point favorite. Currently seeing a total of 205. Checking the injury report here. Usual suspects for the Clippers are out. Nick Batum is out in health and safety protocols. And then for the Detroit Pistons, Isaiah Stewart should be back tonight after serving his 2-game suspension. And Killian Hayes is doubtful for the Detroit Pistons. I was about to say Detroit Lions. Detroit Pistons, which means I think Cade or Corey Joseph should be in that starting lineup again.
Pistons, Lions, they lose a bunch of games. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, just put them into one sentence. Scott, where are you going with this game, man?
So I'm kind of shocked to talk about this game first. I figured we would save the best for last because this is clearly the marquee game on the card, right? But looking at this actual matchup here, the question you have to ask yourself is, do you really want to lay 11.5 with the Clippers? Because this is a team that seems to get off to slow starts. They usually pick it up after halftime, but they are a defensive-minded team that really relies a ton on Paul George. And I know Jackson's had a couple of really good games lately, but for the most part, Paul George carries the entire team. That's kind of what we've seen so far, which is why his name is mentioned in the MVP race at this point in time. Meanwhile, Detroit is just bad. They might be the worst fourth-quarter team in the league. They're kind of competing with New Orleans for that title, or well, Sacramento with Luke Walton, maybe not so much anymore. But Detroit in the second half of games gets absolutely buried all the time. But it seemed like the first half, they're randomly competitive.
Yeah.
I actually like Detroit first half in this spot because the Clippers seem to be a slow starting team. They might play with their food a little bit because we've seen the Clippers really kind of toy with the weaker teams instead of just putting them away from start to finish.
Yeah.
And Detroit's a team that's still young. They're a bit feisty. They'll fall apart after 48 minutes, but for 24 minutes, they're leading at the half against Miami the other night. So I do think that they are a decent first half team. Give me the Pistons plus the points in the first half.
Yeah, I like that angle that you're talking about, that, you know, they're not able to put it together for 48 minutes. I the thing with me is I don't want to lay the points with the Clippers either, but I don't want to take the points with Detroit either. So
that's why I'm taking an angle, because I got to find something.
And that's why I really like your angle there about, you know, taking a second half or first half Pistons and possibly a second half play on the Clippers there. I'll probably wait for a live line in this game and just kind of, like you said, see how this game kind of starts. I am leaning towards the under here in this game. I just don't see that, you know, it being an early start, you know, Pistons not so great offensively. And like you said, the Clippers are a defensive-minded team right now without their other superstar, Kawhi Leonard. Quickly, Terrell did send in his pick, so I'll be giving his picks as we kind of go along through these games, and then also have his parlay for as we wrap up the show later on. But yeah, Terrell is laying the points with the Clippers here. Might be thinking the same thing, that they probably blow them out in the second half. Thoughts on the total, Scott?
It's under a pass. You're going through the offensive numbers for these teams, and they're both not very good. Now, the Detroit ranks 28th in offensive efficiency. It's not a surprise. They can't shoot the ball. But the Clippers rank 23rd, which is a bit surprising because we know Paul George has been so good. But that goes back to my point, which is it's Paul George or bust. Yeah. And if Paul George has an off game, I don't want to say the Clippers are screwed, but let's just say it's pretty tough to cover double digits when one player makes up the bulk of your offense and your name's not LeBron James. But you're looking at the pace. Detroit's also one of the slowest teams in the league, so I do think that they will slow the game down to a crawl. I have to like the under. I'm not sure the Pistons reach 90 in this game.
Yeah, I was thinking of taking Pistons team total under here for this game. Their three-point shooting's not there for this team, and like you just said, the pace is also not there for the Detroit Pistons. Let's move on to the next game here, Scott. We're going to go to one of the hottest teams, actually the hottest team in the NBA, which is the Phoenix Suns, headed into New York to Madison Square Garden, your neck of the woods, where the Phoenix Suns are a 3.5-point road favorite in New York here, currently seeing a total of 216. Scott, where are you going with this game, buddy?
This line, at first glance, looks extremely trappy. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's just daring you to take Phoenix and that New York might end up winning the game outright, but Phoenix is so damn good. It's really tough to bet against this team because you know it's going to be close late, and you know when push comes to shove, you want Paul George and Devin Booker if you have money on the game because they've been so good closing games for the last year and a half, where the Knicks, truth is, really haven't. You've looked at some of their games. They've really fallen apart down the stretch in a couple. Against the Lakers, they held on to win. They blew a 20-something point lead in the process, but they won the game. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually going to take the Knicks, which I feel like is a bold call because I'm kind of fading a team that's won 14 in a row.
Yeah.
But this line does seem extremely short, and I think there's a reason for it. I'm going to take the Knicks.
Yeah, if you kind of take a look at the points in the paint stats here, I think that's what kind of really sticks out to me is that Phoenix Suns, I believe they're ranked number 5 points points inside the paint, and then New York Knicks are the third best defense defending the paint. They're only allowing 41.6 per game. I think this might come down to three-point shooting. It was going to knock down the shots. Both of these teams are top 10 in three-point percentage. Phoenix is at number 9. New York is at number 3. And then we kind of take a look at pace. The Phoenix Suns do play at a higher pace. Yeah, I agree with you. Why is this number a little short? I think that when the Phoenix Suns play the Cavs the other night, I believe the line was only like 6.5, 7.
I think the Cavs are a sneaky team.
Yeah, and they cover that number.
Yeah.
And if you kind of take a look at what they've done ATS overall, Phoenix, I mean, they're not world beaters. They're 9-9 against spread, 4-4 on the road. 3-3 as a road favorite. So
I mean, they failed to cover twice with Luka not in the lineup in back-to-back games. So yeah. I do think that's a bit concerning. But one of them was a bad beat, couple missed free throws. It happens. But the point is that those games were sweats in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to come down to the final 2 minutes. I think this game's going to be very close. Yeah. And if I feel that way, just looking at a 14-game winning streak and having them only lay 3.5. Looks like the ultimate trap line. Yeah. I'm not going to fall for it. Give me the Knicks.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned the injury report. A lot of questionable tags for the Knicks. Not significant. I mean, well, Derrick Rose is a significant piece, but
Mitchell Robinson's questionable.
Yeah, and Mitchell Robinson's also questionable. He's in the concussion protocol. Pretty clean for the Phoenix Suns as far as the usual guys that do play.
So you going Knicks or Suns? Because I really like the Suns team, but that line is just telling you, I dare you to take the Suns. I'm not going to do it.
God, I'm going to do it. I'll take Phoenix minus -3.5.
You're taking a team that's won 14 in
exactly,
a row.
You lost your mind. Yeah. And that's a train I don't want to get in front of right now, but you know, we talked about the last game with Cleveland and Terrell, and he said that at some point on this road trip, I think Phoenix is going to lose a game. But he's on Phoenix minus -3.5 for this game. So you're right. This probably comes down to a last possession. We'll see. Maybe down to some free throws, but definitely one of the better matchups here. Any thoughts on the total, Scott?
This one I find extremely difficult total because the Knicks defense has been a lot worse than it was in previous years.
Yeah.
The Suns offense has been nuts the last couple of games. They've scored at least 112 in each of the last four, at least 120 in two of the last three. I'm going with the over.
Okay.
I do think the Knicks will try to slow the pace a little bit, but I do think that both teams with the solid 3-point shooting should hit a decent amount of shots. 216.5 sounds also a bit high, but I do think that it's high for a reason. I'm going to take the over. Pretty much I'm expecting the whole game to be a trap. So I'm just going to take the over in the Knicks.
Yeah, I think what you highlighted, we talked about 3-point shooting. Both these teams are pretty good 3-point shooting teams. And when I'm looking at, you know, taking overs, I'm looking at 3-point shooting pace and points inside the paint. So, yeah, I think this number, I mean, it's a good number. I'll probably lean with the over with you as well, just because Phoenix is just so good on the offensive side during their 14-game winning streak here. Let's go over to the next game, Scott. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves headed to Charlotte to take on the Hornets, where the Hornets are seeing a 2 and a 2.5 for the Hornets as a home favorite. Total of 224.5. Scott, thoughts on this game?
I think that this game is the most underrated game on the card just entirely, because I think these teams are good. Minnesota has been a streaky team, but they tweaked the lineup a little bit. Vanderbilt's given them some great minutes in the starting rotation, and they've looked really good. I mean, you're going through the results. Minnesota's won 5 in a row, beat Miami. You had one of the greatest poster dunks robbed by the referees in that game because of Anthony Edwards, but everything else has been just, I don't know, sunshine and rainbows for Minnesota over the last week and a half. Charlotte's been great too.
Yeah.
I had money on them -7 against Orlando, and they ended up pushing for me. Thanks, LaMelo, for that self alley-oop in the second quarter. I really appreciate it. But anyway, Charlotte's been rolling as well. I do think that this is going to come down to the wire, but Charlotte's been so good at home.
Yeah.
It's really tough to step in front of them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Minnesota, because I think that Charlotte is a team that, even though they've been playing really well, I really think Minnesota found something. And I think the size, especially with Plumlee being day-to-day, I know Plumlee's not a great player. He's still a body. And Towns should have a great game if Plumlee's less than 100%, which he will be. I think Minnesota's backcourt can stack up, and I think that the front court has an advantage. So I'm actually going to take a bit of a shocker here going with Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota, I see them ranked #3, at least in defensive efficiency, which is a fairly a significant improvement from what they've been over the last couple of seasons. So kudos to them for making that commitment on the defensive side. I do see Patrick Beverley is going to be out for this game for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But yeah, a tale of two teams that are having some great success over the past 2 weeks here, like you mentioned. Charlotte at home, like you mentioned. Let's see. I'm trying to find their spread numbers for Charlotte. 6-2 against the spread at home. 5-1 as a home dog. 1-1 as a favorite. I will lean with Charlotte here. Terrell has, let's see,
he'll probably have the Hornets because, I mean, they're 6-2 at home. I get it. I just, maybe I'm buying in, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit with Minnesota, but I actually really like what they've done over the last week and a half.
Yeah, he's a Charlotte guy, so he's also on Charlotte for tonight. Thoughts on this total at 224.5? It seems a hair high to me, but
I think it's high.
Yeah.
I have a hard time taking an over when Minnesota, as you said, third in defensive efficiency over either the whole season or just the last week and a half.
Yeah.
When you're walking into either your arena or other teams' arenas and you're barely giving up 100 for a full 2 weeks, I can't take an over 220 in your game. I got to take the under.
Yeah, I'm leaning with the under here. I think it's moving towards 225. So that number keeps climbing. I'm going to wait till game time to maybe see if I could get a better number at 225 or maybe 225.5. Let's go over to the next game. Scott, we have the Chicago Bulls headed to Orlando to take on the Magic. I believe this is the return of Vucevic to Orlando. 9.5-point road favorite for the Bulls, coming off of two terrible, terrible losses, blown out at home against the Pacers. And for whatever God reason, that the Rockets were able to beat the Chicago Bulls team without Jalen Green in that game. He left, I believe, in the first quarter with a lower leg injury. But they go to Orlando, 9.5-point road favorite. Total sitting at 212.5. Let me see what Terrell has for this game. He is, this is his lock at -8. So I'm sure he likes it up to 9.5, possibly 10. But Scott, your thoughts?
So, of course, the Bulls lost because they were the final leg of a money line parlay I had, and they ended up losing to the Rockets, which always hurts, man. That's never.
I should
a fun
thank you
time.
For that, the victory then for the Rockets, then, huh?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
It's definitely a pain in the ass to watch them blow a double digit lead to a 1-win team. But Orlando is a team that offensively is not very good. without Cole Anthony, they are really, really bad. They really just cannot generate anything offensively. But my question for you, is this a slight, I'd say, slump for Chicago? Or is this a sign of things to come? Because the Indiana game, I can give you a pass. You're on a back-to-back. You just beat the Knicks in a close game. And you were fatigued and you didn't show up. Okay, that's fine. You know, whatever. You really blew a double-digit lead to Houston.
I will say this. I was watching this Rockets game because it's the Chicago Bulls.
They made a bunch of threes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That they were just knocking down. They actually came out in the second half and were actually knocking down shots, which they haven't done all season long. I mean, you got 18 points from Daniel House, who hasn't played much all season. They were 17 of 36 from three-point land. And I think there was another Daniel House. He was 6.
House was nuts. I know Brooks made it. Was it Brooks?
Yeah.
He made a couple.
Armani Brooks, 3 for 6. And then Garrison Matthews, 2 for 4. So, I mean, their bench stepped up, which
Sengun was very good in that game. Yeah.
I don't know why he's not getting more playing time.
That's
a conversation for another time. But I don't, to answer your question, I don't think it's a sign of what's to come for them. I'm still a believer in this team. They caught a red hot Rockets team. So I'm probably going to lay the points here with the Bulls. What do you think?
I guess I'm being contrarian today because I really don't want to lay 8.5 with Chicago off of those two losses. I get the premise. Chicago should be annoyed and they should take care of business against Orlando. But Orlando, I watched against Charlotte. They weren't totally atrocious, and Charlotte was rolling. Now, Charlotte played with its food a little bit. I acknowledge that. But the Magic have lost 4 in a row. They lost to the Nets by 2. Okay, that's no shame in that. Played Milwaukee twice, and Milwaukee is surging right now, so I'm not going to criticize them for that. And they kept it close against Charlotte for about 3.5 quarters. So I think 8.5 is too high. Of course, am I thrilled with going to the window with the Magic? Of course not. You have to be crazy to do that. Yeah. But I don't want to lay the points. I'm going to take Orlando.
Yeah, I'm currently seeing Cole Anthony questionable for this game.
He might play, and you might see the line drop. I don't know.
So definitely keep an eye out for that as we get closer to game time and as these injury reports continue to come out throughout the day. Thoughts on the total, Scott? 213 now?
I can't take an over with Orlando.
Yeah, me neither.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next game here. We have maybe one of the more exciting matchups tonight. The Atlanta Hawks going into Memphis to take on the Grizzlies, where the Grizzlies are a small 1-point home favorite. Currently seeing a total of 226. Was this one of the teams that you were talking about for the overs, Scott?
Maybe. Just because of the recent scores for Memphis.
Yeah.
The league evolved into a lower scoring type of game flow. Memphis didn't get the memo. They're still playing basketball like it was last year, which I'm a huge fan of, by the way.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of points in their games. Let's put it that way.
I took the Toronto Raptors. Actually, yeah, I had the Raptors as my dog, and then I also took their team total in their last game, and that fairly came in easily.
That was a bit of a sweat. What'd they have, like 100 points at the end of three quarters or something?
Yeah. I'll have to tell you about a bad beat that I had with the Raptors the other night where they only scored like 12 points on the fourth quarter, and I had the team total over there. But, you know, that's the NBA for you. Thoughts on the side here, Scott? 1-point home favorite for the Grizz?
This is another interesting line because Atlanta's won 6 in a row. And they're 1-point dog to a team that lost by 13 to Toronto at home. Now, the main reason why is because Atlanta's 2-8 on the road.
Yeah.
They're ridiculously good at Atlanta, but everywhere else they're not very good. But they did beat San Antonio by 18 on the road in their last game. Now, San Antonio, good? Of course not. They're terrible. But the point is that at least they took care of business in a road game, which is a good start because they were 1-8 on the highway.
Yeah.
I got to take Atlanta. I might be an idiot for fading a team that's won 14 in a row. I'm not going to do it twice on the show. I got to take Atlanta winning six in a row because Memphis is a team. They don't guard anybody. And Atlanta's offense was a mess to start the year. Trey's been really good. It seemed like he also tweaked something with the foul calling, and now he's been great. Collins has been good. Capella's a walking double-double.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the supporting cast. They've all been good. Now, Bogdanović is questionable, so that is important to monitor. I got to take Atlanta because this team made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and we thought that might have been a fluke after the first 2 weeks. it wasn't a fluke. This team's really good. The ceiling for Atlanta is higher than the ceiling for Memphis. I'll take Atlanta.
Yeah, both these teams are top 10 in points scored inside the paint. Atlanta, number two as far as three-point percentage. And then again, Memphis, one of the worst, I believe, if not the worst, three-point defending team in the entire association so far this season. I mean, they rank number 30 in three-point percentage allowed, number 30 in three-point makes allowed per game. So, you know, teams are firing off against them. We saw that the other night against the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, I cannot back a team that is going to not play defense. So in Atlanta, they have all the firepower they do, but I'm more so, this is probably locked territory for me on the over for this game. I really like the over in this game, you know, just because we talked about how Memphis is not a great defending team and Atlanta has this, you know, way sometimes of not defending, but these, both these teams can put up points at will if they so choose. I think we'll see that here tonight for the matchup in this game. Are you agreeing with that over there, Scott?
Yeah, there's no way I'm taking under with the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next game here. We have the Toronto Raptors headed to Indiana to take on the Pacers, where the Pacers are a 3.5-point home favorite, currently seeing a total of 211.5. I did not mention Terrell's pick for the last game. He is on Memphis minus the one. And then for this game, I believe this is his lock of the, or sorry, his dog of the day with is Toronto plus the 4.5. But thoughts on this game, Scott?
Well, I like Toronto, and that was my dog as well because they've played twice this season. Toronto's 2-0. Now, Anunoby has not played for the last couple of games. They fared decently without him, but he's questionable, so he might actually return for this one. Simply put, Indiana's a psycho team, and they should not be laying 4.5. I don't understand how they're laying 4.5 to a team that's beaten them twice at that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I've been backing Toronto almost on the daily. I mean, they're 7-4 on the road so far this season, and then against the spread. Let me see if I can find it here. Also 7-4 against the spread. So they're getting the job done right now. I think defensively they've been pretty solid, have the Toronto Raptors. Like you said, no Anunoby, but they've gotten Pascal Siakam back and, you know, Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. And, I mean, Scotty Barnes, like I said, if you guys have not had the opportunity to watch this guy play or this Raptors team, you guys need to watch him because I think there's something good brewing for the Toronto Raptors. I'll agree with you. I also like the Raptors here on the points. And then possibly, you know, I will be playing the money line. Also, thoughts on this total, Scott?
I think it's too high. Just going through the actual numbers, they played twice this season. Mm-hmm. First game was high scoring. Second game finished 97-94. Yeah. I see it in that type of territory. I think it'll be a lower scoring slugfest, which is what I think you usually get when these teams get together. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just looking at it, and I really like the under because Indiana offensively might have looked good against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. That team can't guard anybody. Yeah. I'm still not sold on the Pacers as a team. So give me the Raptors and give me the under.
Yeah, I agree with you there also. Scott, let's take a quick break here. We will come back and we'll get to the rest of the schedule for this Friday night games in the association.
Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of WynnBET Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 and win $100 on any sport. Plus, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WynnBET if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WynnBET will match it up to 200%. If you bet $100, you'll get a free bet of $200. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. PropSwap has always always has the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a bet that you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right, coming off of the break, let's get to the next game here, Scott. We have the Washington Wizards headed to Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder, where the Wizards are laying 7.5 points on the road here, seeing a total of 206.5, trending towards 207. What do you think for this game, Scott?
I think it's too many points. And that sounds crazy because Gilgeous Alexander is not going to play, but yeah. I don't like how the Wizards have played for the last week and a half. And this team was a surprising or shocking one seed in the East for about a day. And then everything kind of fell apart after that. I don't want to say it reminds me of the Rockets team from last year that was randomly good for about 2 weeks and then everything hit the fan.
Yeah.
But it does seem like Washington overachieved to start. And now they're drastically plummeting back down to earth. And do I want them laying 7.5 in this spot? No. Oklahoma City, of course, has lost a couple of games. They're not a good basketball team. But they hung around with Utah, and that impressed me. And yeah. You can look at the results. This team doesn't win many games, but it seems like they're always in the thick of it midway through the fourth quarter. And they haven't pulled some of these games out, but you played Milwaukee, lost by 7. No shame in that. Mm-hmm. Played Boston, lost by 6. Both those games on the road. Played Atlanta, arguably the best home team, second best home team in the league with Golden State, lost by 12. That's fine. And they lost to Utah at home by 6, and they were winning a decent amount of that game. So I kind of like the form the Thunder are in despite losing. 7.5 seems way too high. I can't lay 7.5 with a team that lost by 25 to New Orleans in the last game. Give me Oklahoma City. I think they got a shot to win the game, but I'll take the 7.5.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thunder 6-3 against the number at home this season. They are 12-6 overall against the spread. And we don't care about, you know, the money or straight up bets. I mean, what their record is, but
we're, great teams cover.
Yeah, great teams cover. There you go. So I agree with you. OKC, man, I'm probably looking at some Josh Giddey player props with SGA being out for this game with a right ankle sprain. But Terrell also agrees with us. He's taking the +7 for the Thunder here. Thoughts on this total here, Scott?
Normally, I'm all over unders with OKC. I actually like the over here just because of the fact that the Wizards defensively have really struggled. They have 112 to Miami, played them again, doubleheader, usually a lower scoring game second time around. But you had 109 allowed to Charlotte and gave up 127 to New Orleans. The Thunder are a team that can usually, at least the last couple of games, they've gotten over 100 for three games straight. So that's a step in the right direction. But I do think 206 sounds a bit low. I'm going to take the over.
What do you think about the Thunder 99.5 team total? I kind of like that.
If I think they're going to cover, I think they're probably getting over 100. So, yeah, I think that's too low. I understand the premise because earlier in the season they couldn't score. Now you're missing your best player.
Yeah.
But the offense has clawed to over 103 straight, and Washington's given up at least 100 in each of the last four. So I do think that team total sounds a bit low.
Yeah, I might be playing that team total here. But again, I agree with you guys, both you and Terrell, on this 7.5 number for the OKC Thunder. 206 seems a little low, especially like you highlighted that Washington is starting to regress a little bit on the defensive end here. Let's go over to the next game, Scott. We have the Boston Celtics headed to San Antonio to take on the Spurs, where the Boston Celtics are a 3-point road favorite, currently seeing a total of 214.5. I don't understand why this number is only 3, but I will give you the floor first, sir.
Well, the number's 3 because, as I said about the Pacers, the Celtics are a psycho team. So nobody knows what to expect from this team any given day. We know what we can expect from San Antonio. Unfortunately, it's a bunch of losses because they're not a very good basketball team. But
yeah,
we went through the win totals of the Western Conference together on a podcast, and we both said straight up, we think the Spurs are not going to be a good team. Of course, the Popovich angle for a low win total was tempting. I didn't buy it for a second. This team is awful. And there's really nothing to like besides DeJounte Murray. Keldon Johnson has some moments, but he also vanishes for about 20 minutes in any given game.
So
the consistency is not there. DeJounte is something special, but he's really just by himself. Boston has the firepower with Tatum, with Brown. They no-showed against the Nets, which was an embarrassing showing. But you can make an argument they'll be eager to get back on track. I'm making the argument that the Spurs should definitely be getting more points than three. It could be a trap because Boston's a lunatic team, as I said before.
Yeah.
In this case, I don't even care. San Antonio's lost six in a row. They're just terrible. Give me Boston.
Yeah, Boston so far this season on the road against the spread, 6-3-1. They're a perfect 4-0 as a road favorite here. So another game that possibly should be locked territory for me. I don't understand why this is only minus three. But yeah, like you highlighted, Boston's kind of erratic. To maybe put it nicely. But I think they've kind of figured some things out. They finally got their guys healthy. Jaylen Brown, like we said, is back. Jason Tatum looks like he's been playing better. Robert Williams will be out for this game. So that means Al Horford. Maybe some rebounding props on Al Horford here tonight. But thoughts on the total here, Scott, at 214. Now it's up to 214.
I have a thought on the total, and then I want to go into a brief rant really quickly.
Yeah, but go for it.
For this actual total, I think it's a little low. I get Boston was a great defensive team for maybe a week and a half, but you're looking at the recent performances. Gave up 108 to the Lakers. It's fine when you score 130. That's going to happen. You gave up 105 to Oklahoma City. Not great. You beat Houston, but you know you should, unless you're Chicago. And then you played the Nets and you lost by 19, gave up 123. The Spurs are just handing out 110-plus points every game. Defensively, DeJounte Murray is a first-team all-defensive quality player. Mm-hmm. The rest of the team, not so much. Yep. I like the over. That total's a bit low. But my rant quickly here.
Yeah.
The Spurs are 4-13. They're really in third place in their division. Really? Well, Southwest. Are you out of your mind?
Well, read off the teams that are in that division. That'll answer your question.
So Dallas is 10-7. First place, 10-7.
Yeah.
Memphis is 9-9.
Yeah.
But you know, 1.5 games back. San Antonio is 4-13.
Yep.
New Orleans is 4-16.
There you go.
And Houston is 2-16. That might be the worst bottom three teams I've ever seen in a division, and I had to bring it to light because that is insane. The Spurs are 9 games under through 17 games, and they're in third place.
This division used to be like one of the more competitive divisions. I don't know how long ago, but I mean, yeah, this division has significantly regressed.
It's the worst division in the league.
It is. It really is. And there's no question about it. I mean, when you talk about the Rockets that are obviously in rebuild mode, Spurs are in that direction also. And New Orleans, I don't know what they're doing down there, but
they're cashing our win total under. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, there you go. So, we're sitting very, very pretty on that one. So, yeah, at this point, it's going to be a two-horse race all season long between Dallas and Memphis. But, yeah, you're right. This probably is the worst division in the entire association, at least for this year so far. But we'll try to cash in on it as much as we can. I wish there was like a regular season like win total, like by division. I think we probably would have pounded the under for this division.
I don't like anybody in this division. We didn't like Dallas. Memphis, we both liked, but we thought they would be hovering around 500, which might be good enough.
Yeah.
And we hated the other three teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not pretty, but anyway, to go back to this matchup, you're going with Boston, and what do you like for the total?
I know you highlighted that Boston has not been good defensively.
It's mostly San Antonio.
Yeah, and it is. And that's why I'm leaning toward taking that team total versus the game total because I could honestly see like Boston just coming in and like winning like 112, 115 to like 97, 99, which would be like right around that total. So I like the Boston team total here for this game, though, but I am taking that minus three here for San Antonio. I'm sorry, for the Boston Celtics. Let's move over to the next game. We will probably make this a quick one. We have the New Orleans Pelicans headed to Utah, where Utah is a 12.5 point home favorite, seeing a total of 217.5. Now, let's just say this, that the New Orleans Pelicans have been playing, I guess we can say, better than what they were. I mean, there's only one direction for them to go. But like you say, they're 4-16 overall. They're 1-9 away from their home arena.
They don't like to brag, but they're 1-9 away from their home
arena. Yeah, 2-8 against the number on the road so far this season. But, Scott, where are you going with this game?
I'm going with Utah. Now, it's a bunch of points, and New Orleans has played a little bit better lately, but I don't really give a damn. I can't back the Pelicans. This team is awful. See, yeah. You think it's a good price, and then you actually watch them play for about 5 minutes, and you realize you've made a horrible mistake. I can't back New Orleans. This team is awful. The only redeeming quality for this team is either Brandon Ingram, who I think is an overrated player, but he's the best player they have on the team, mm-hmm. and Valanciunas. But Valanciunas is basically negated by Rudy Gobert's presence, so I don't think he's going to have much of a game there.
Yeah,
I got to like Utah. You know, they struggled against Oklahoma City, but at home, they're a bunch of world beaters. So would I be shocked if Utah's up 30 about halfway through the third quarter? No. Would I be shocked if it's a close game and Utah blows it open late? No. But I think there's multiple ways you can end up cashing this because it seems like a big spread. It's really not, because Utah's been arguably the best home team for the last, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Them so I'm going to take the Jazz.
Yeah. For the injury report, pretty clean. The only questionable tag for the Utah Jazz is Royce O'Neal, but I don't think that's going to make a huge difference, if a difference at all, for the Utah Jazz. Yeah, I'm not backing this Pelicans team. I mean, we've been down on them all year. I'm going to continue to be down on them for the rest of the year. Thoughts on the total? Maybe a Utah Jazz team total over here, possibly?
Well, that's the issue, because Utah defensively is supposed to be really, really good, and New Orleans offensively is supposed to be really, really bad. But it's kind of like what we just talked about, the Celtics and Spurs game. Is one team going to drag down the full game total so badly that it's not going to get there?
Yeah.
And I am concerned about that. I like the Utah team total over.
Yeah.
Because at home, they're nuts, and I think they're going to score probably 118 points by themselves. So I'm going to go with the over. Utah has a great chance to go for 120 plus here.
Yeah.
So I feel like I kind of have to take the over, but they could win 120-95, and I'll just be really disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're both taking Utah here, no doubt. And looking at the Jazz team total for these, for this matchup here between these two teams. Let's go over to the next game. Could be an interesting game if some of these Denver Nuggets player want to play tonight or back from injury. But the Milwaukee Bucks are headed to the Mile High City to take on the Denver Nuggets. The Bucks are a 3.5-point road favorite here, currently seeing a total of 214. Quickly, should mention the injury report here for the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic is battling the wrist injury. They said on Wednesday that he may be able to return today. I think he will probably go tonight. And Michael Porter Jr. continues to be missing, not only on the court, but he's also dealing with a lower back injury.
Dozier's also out for the year.
Yeah, and we didn't mention that he tore his ACL the other night. So another blow for the Denver Nuggets depth there. And obviously Jamal Murray continues to be out due back. Probably not till next year, 2022. But, Scott, 3.5-point road favorite here for the Bucks. What do you think?
Bucks all day, every day. Now, this is also one of those lines where you're immediately thinking of taking Denver because they're good at home.
Yeah.
Spread's a bit short. I'm invested so heavily in Milwaukee stock right now because you can just tell that when Middleton came back, they flipped the switch.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say they're fully back to where they were last year, mm-hmm. but they look really, really good. Now, some of their recent opponents have been the bottom feeders of the league. You beat Oklahoma City, you beat the Magic twice, and you beat the Pistons. Congrats. But the point is that Milwaukee actually does look a lot more dialed in,
mm-hmm.
Particularly on the offensive end. I feel like they've really looked sharp over the last couple of games, where Denver, it's not really their fault, you know? You have a bunch of injuries, half the team's dead, and they're getting their ass kicked. So I have to go with Milwaukee because assuming Jokic plays or doesn't play, there's really just no supporting cast at this point in time. And even though Dozier isn't a scorer by any means, he gave you minutes, and you're missing him now. That's a problem. Besides Jokic, who do you have? You're going to put your stock in Will Barton being your second best offensive player?
Don't get me started about Will Barton.
But, is he the second best offensive player on the team?
As far as I mean,
that's not good.
Yeah. It's Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. has been gone this season. I mean, he hasn't shown up yet. I mean, the whole maybe the vaccination thing.
Well, I'm saying with the active roster right now, assuming Jokic Aaron doesn't
Gordon,
play.
Maybe Aaron Gordon's probably your second best.
I am so anti Aaron Gordon from an offensive perspective. Defensively, I think he's underrated, but offensively, yeah. People thought he was going to be so much more. And then he came over from the Magic and he's barely shot the ball. He had a couple of good games there. But the point is, with Jokic out of the lineup, your best offensive player might actually be Will Barton. Give me Milwaukee minus 3.5.
Where do you think, obviously the line's going to move in the direction of the Nuggets if Jokic is able to go? How many points do you think it comes back? Maybe a point and a half, maybe?
I think it would bounce to 2 or 2.5.
Yeah.
And then I think you'd still see Milwaukee money because I really just don't know how you can look at these two teams and even with Jokic in the lineup, really feel confident about taking Denver.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee right now, they are, like you said, the stock to buy them right now or to back them is right now. They've won, what, 5-6 games in a row here. But like you mentioned, not the greatest competition, but I mean, I don't think that
how good of a competition is Denver? I don't
even
know.
Yeah, they're really not right now, especially with all the injuries. And like you said, not their fault. But yeah, why is this number so short, man? I feel like I'm falling into these traps today. But
well, Milwaukee had a long homestead, so now they're going back on the road.
Yeah, into Denver.
And now, yeah, it's in Denver. You got altitude. Denver played a couple road games. But even at home, you lost to Philly with no Embiid, no Simmons, no whatever, by 14 to a bench squad. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Then you lost to Chicago the game after. So it's not like they've even been taking care of business at home lately.
Yeah.
Trap or not, I got to take Milwaukee.
Yeah, Evan mentioned Terrell's picks here for the last couple games. Going back, he is on Boston minus 3. He's also on the Bucks minus 3.5. And he is taking the points with the Pelicans plus 12 for this game. So we'll be watching these picks closely for sure. But yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you guys also. It's got to go with the Bucks here minus the 3.5. Not much else to say, man. Just keep an eye out for this the Joker news if he's able to go tonight if or not. But if he's able to go, you'll probably get a better number on the Milwaukee Bucks at probably, like, we're thinking 2, 2.5.
But even with Jokic, who does Denver have that could even stand in the way of Giannis?
Yeah. That was
what
my
exact
thoughts.
What do you do? You put Aaron Gordon on him? Like, I don't know. You're kind of just screwed.
That's probably going to be their best bet if they're going to – yeah, Aaron Gordon's probably the only guy that they aren't going to have to put on him, but then
– yeah, give Bol Bol 35 minutes. Like, they got nothing. Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, let's get to the last game here, Scott. We have the Portland Trail Blazers headed to Golden State to take on the Warriors. Warriors are currently a 6 to 6.5 point home favorite, currently seeing a total of 225. I know I've been on the bandwagon, or not the bandwagon, but I've been on this Warriors train before the season started. I've been backing them all season long. No reason for me to stop now. I am taking Warriors minus the 6, 6.5 at home here. Portland, one of those teams like Atlanta, I think, Scott, that great at home. On the road, not so much.
Well, you're looking at Portland straight up on the road. They're 1-8.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells you all you need to know. But as I said about Atlanta, it seems like they've turned a corner, and I do think it's a good matchup for them. As for Portland, you're on a big winning streak. Coincidence, all those games at home, by the way.
Yeah.
Then you go on the road to face an Alvin Gentry-led Sacramento Kings, and you lose on the road. So that means that this team is exactly who we thought they were, mm-hmm. which is a very good home team and an awful road team.
Yeah.
And now they're on the road against probably the best team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Golden State. Give me Curry to go for 35 against Lillard, if not more. And I think that Curry props will go really well tonight. But I like the Warriors here because they have a gear defensively that Portland just does not have.
This is another game that I kind of like the team total for the home team here, the Golden State Warriors. Kind of take a look at what Portland has done over their past couple road games here. And like you mentioned, they are 1-8 on the road so far this season. But like we said, 125 given up to the Kings. Go back to that Denver game. They gave up 124 to the Denver Nuggets, a team that we just talked about. Their lone win on the road this season, Scott, the Houston Rockets. So not much happening for this team on the road. But, yeah, I am backing this Warriors team 100%, minus 6.5. Give me the over on the Warriors team total at 115.5 also. Thoughts on the total there, Scott?
I agree with the Warriors team total over. As for the actual game here, This number does feel like it's where it should be, a 224.5, but I'm going to go with the under.
Okay.
Which sounds a little bit bold because Portland really cannot stop anybody, but Golden State can.
Yeah.
And I think Portland's going to struggle offensively on the highway.
Yeah, not like we said, not great road numbers for the Portland Trail Blazers. So, and let me check Terrell's pick here. He is also on Golden State here tonight at -6.5. I was wrong. There is one last game for tonight, and that is going to be the Sacramento Kings. And I don't see it on the board right now. Do you see it there, Scott?
It's a little bit of a waiting game to see if LeBron's going to play or not.
Okay.
I did see 7.5 about an hour ago.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing there has been. I see 7 on one book. So it's gone down a little bit, but okay. The Lakers are -7. Totals around. Oh, boy.
This is a big
229?
Number.
I thought it was just 226.5 an hour ago.
Yeah. Well, we'll handicap it. Let's just assume that LeBron is going to go tonight. So 7.5 for the Lakers at home, hosting the Sacramento Kings with a total around 228.5, 229. Let's just assume, Scott, that LeBron will play. So where are you at with this game?
Over. the over would have been my best bet if I had guarantees that LeBron was going to play.
Mm.
But I mentioned it before. Alvin Gentry led Sacramento.
Yep.
That's all you need to hear. Because some coaches, you know immediately whether they're in the D'Antoni tree or not, their teams never guard anybody. And Alvin Gentry's teams have never guarded anybody in his entire career.
Yeah.
And now they face off against the Lakers, whose offense did look better with LeBron back because, duh, he dropped 39 and was absolutely crazy in overtime. But defensively, they're a mess.
Yeah.
So I think you'll see an up-tempo game where neither team's very good at defense. Both teams aren't exactly trying to play defense. And I think you'll see a game that might even get into the 240s. But I like the over in this game. As for the spread, I can't lay points with the Lakers.
Nope. Can't do that. Jack, can we really go over this injury report? I think, yeah, obviously that was something that we need to mention. Like we mentioned, LeBron is questionable. And then for the Sacramento side, two key guys that are questionable also in Harrison Barnes and Rashawn Holmes.
I could have sworn this total was 226.5 an hour ago. So the fact that it went up around 2 points makes me believe LeBron's going to play, because I don't know how it would go up 2 points if he wasn't going to play. But I'm just reading between the tea leaves there. I'm assuming he's going to play. I don't even care. I mean, they were trailing by double digits or for a decent portion of that game against a pretty underwhelming Indiana team.
Yeah,
I get they won. Mm-hmm. Good for them. They didn't really look good doing it. So give me Sacramento plus the points.
Yeah, there's no way I agree with you. I'm laying 7.5 against with the Lakers here. Both these teams, I think, believe are top 10 in pace. So that's why we're seeing a high total here. These two teams cannot defend the paint to save their lives. I think Anthony Davis should have a big game tonight for the Lakers.
Is he playing or does he still have a fever?
I don't see him on the injury report, so he might be playing. Street clothes should be playing here tonight. It's kind of just looking at the stats for both of these teams. Yeah, they're not great defending the paint. Three-point shooting is not there either, or defending the three-point shooting for the Kings is not there. And like you mentioned, I think probably the only handicap we need is that Alvin Gentry is now the head coach. And I mentioned this in the NBA Slack channel, is that we're going to have to keep an eye on this because Gentry's team have not, again, they play with a lot of pace. And they don't play defense. So I agree with you on the over there and tanking Sacramento. Scott, let's take one last break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show with final thoughts and we'll get into our log dog. And it's Friday, so that means Friday parlay. So we'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors.
Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bet hits, and even help raise money for charity along the way. It's a brand new company looking to grow their early adopter community. It's a slick app and it's fun to use. One of the reasons we love it is that they also offer prop betting. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get in on some prop bets on Better Fantasy. It's totally free to play. Download today for iPhone and Android. Check them out today at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this and I know you will too. PrizePicks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market, and PrizePicks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players who only play a handful of games off the bench in every single game. PrizePicks offers props that you can think of from yardage to touchdowns to even interceptions thrown. Tonight, Wednesday night in the NBA, I am taking Malcolm Brogdon against the Detroit Pistons to make more than 2 3-point shots against the Detroit Pistons. And I'm also going to be taking, let's see here, Kyle Kuzma to grab 8 or more rebounds against the Charlotte Hornets tonight. And those two entries for those two projections to get over my $20 entry were turned into $60 if both of those cash for me and get above their projection. So guys, it's really fun. You guys need to check out PrizePicks. They have so many different prop betting options, from points, rebounds, assists, 3-point shots. They also have NFL, they have college basketball, they have college football, hockey, MMA, tennis. So make sure to head over to PrizePicks to check them out. PrizePicks allows, like I said, allows mixed sports entries. You can take the over for, like I said, for Bradley Beal tonight. You could take an under on another player that's playing in another sport like college football tonight and even hockey. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play Store. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy, guys. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code SGP to get your 100% instant deposit match up to $100, or go to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Roster brought to you by SoBet. Since when did sports became so rigid? Sports betting is becoming meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustache tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free to web application, you can access a demo on their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it's truly competitive. Next time you're with friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by using any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept it. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io, that's SoBet.io, to join the revolution. The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and in Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all of our picks and podcasts. Don't forget to toss up an app review and download the SGPN app today.
All right, coming off of the break, Scott, I will give you the floor first here, sir, and also go through Terrell's picks. But what do you got as a lock and dog for tonight?
So my lock is going to be the over in the Hawks-Grizzlies game, because how am I not supposed to take an over with Memphis? This team just walks in to any arena and hands out a free 115, 120 points. And Atlanta's offense has been great the last couple of games. The winning streak helps. Playing at home helps. But I do think that the offensive showing on the road against San Antonio, for a team that bad on the road up to that point, I do think might carry over. And it might be a little bit of the confidence boost they needed to push forward. But Memphis, until they guard anybody, I'm assuming every game they're going to have is going to land in the 230s. Give me the over.
I agree with you. I mean, I can't argue against that. I mean, we talked about it, right? Memphis is they're not playing defense at all this year. Atlanta, again, a team that's a great offensive team. Seems like they got the victory. They put up 124 against San Antonio Spurs. So I like that. I will go with my actually, why don't you go with your dog there, Scott? What do you got?
So just to make sure, the dog here is for the spread or the money line?
You can go, let's go spread. And if you do have a money line, you could throw in that also. But let's go with the spread first.
So for the spread, I'll pick a different one to be different. Okay. I'll go with the Thunder plus the points against the Wizards as my dog spread for the game, because I don't think Washington should be laying 7.5. I think that line's crazy based on how they've played the last week and a half. And the Thunder have been competitive. They're not going to win many games, but I think they'll keep it close. So that's my dog spread. For the actual money line, I'm going Toronto because this team has done well against Indiana twice. We saw them put up a good offensive showing against Memphis. So we know that the depth is there for this team. The issue is that they're still young and inexperienced, but Indiana's a psycho team that should never be laying 3.5. And I think the Raptors have a great chance to win the game. So there's two dog picks, but in case you didn't piece it together, I like the Raptors money line. So I think they're going to also cover 3.5.
Okay. Makes sense. So for me, I'm going to go to that Boston game and San Antonio game. I just don't know. I'll fall for the trap here, man. Boston Celtics -3 as my lock going up against the Spurs. For all the reasons that we've mentioned, the San Antonio team is not good at all. It's like Boston has figured out some things after the slow start they had. And again, all the guys are healthy, or at least their main guys with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Dennis Schroeder. The only guy that is out for the Boston Celtics tonight is Robert Williams. So I don't care if he plays or not. I just like Boston -3 here.
I'm not sure why Williams never plays, though, when he's the Lord of Time. Shouldn't he be able to play every game?
He should, but
as Time Lord, you know, you can just freeze time and, you know, heal.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
You ever hear the story of how he got that name, by the way?
No, yeah. Why don't you tell? I don't know. So why don't you tell me? I genuinely do want to know.
He was late to his intro press conference.
Robert Williams?
Yeah. So they called him Time Lord because he missed the introductory press conference.
That's pretty funny. Actually, I think I heard of that. I think I heard of it. I heard that story. That's why he got that name. But let's get to my dog. I am going to go. Let's see here.
I cheated. I took two dogs. One spread, one money one.
Yeah, I like that Raptors one also. I'll double lock that with you, but I'm going to not be boring. Let me see if I can find
it. Is it a triple? Because I think you said Terrell also liked the Raptors as his dog.
That was his dog also. So we have a triple dog. So we have a triple dog. Like, let's do that. Toronto Raptors money line and the spread here, +4 and +150 for the Raptors here tonight. A triple dog like between myself, Scott, and Terrell. And I'll give you a bonus dog. Let's see here. Do I dare and take the Kings money line just for fun? I know they don't
fade the Lakers, which you do anyway.
Yeah, they don't play a lick of defense, especially with Alvin Gentry now. But crazier things have happened. I mean, the Rockets beat the Chicago Bulls the other night, but why not sprinkle a little bit on that money line for the Sacramento Kings +240? This should be a shootout, but again, I like fading this Lakers team. So that will be my bonus dog for the night. Scott, you have a parlay that you want to give out for the people while I put together Terrell's?
Yeah. So for this one, I kind of did a crossover between the PropCast and the NBA gambling podcast because I created a player prop parlay.
All right.
So I'm going to look at three players. Some of them are player performance doubles. So first one I'm going to go with is Bobby Portis double-double and Bucks to win. That's about +390 by itself. Portis has been a very underrated rebounder all season long, and he's put up a fair share of double-doubles. I think the Bucks are going to win. Giannis, people think, immediately walks into 15, 20 rebounds every game. It only happens sometimes. Other times he's really not as involved in the boards as he should be. So I do think Portis is a good chance, and I do think that the Bucks should win. I got Capella double-double at -125 because how do you not like Clint Capella any given game for a double-double? Yep. I mean, the guy walks into 15 rebounds as soon as he gets off the bus. And I do think that in a game with that many points against Memphis, he should easily get to 10.
Yeah.
And the last one, I got Gobert double-double and the Jazz to win at -156. And those three pay out at around 13-1.
All right. So you want to say that one more time for the people, Scott? 13-1. Yeah, so
I got Bobby Portis double-double with the Bucks to win.
Okay.
I got Clint Capella double-double That just no bonus on that. Just Capella double double.
Okay.
And Gobert double double with the Jazz to win. And those three pay out at around 13-1.
There you go. So 13-1 from Scott. I will go with I'll give you guys Terrell's parlay for tonight. And that's gonna be the Pacers first quarter money line, the Bucks first half money line, the first half under in the Wizards and the Thunder game, the Bulls full game money line, and the Grizzlies full game money line. So let me repeat that. Pacers first quarter money line, Bucks first half money line, Wizards and Thunder first half under, and the full game money line for the Bulls and Grizzlies.
When you're a basketball fan, but you have dinner reservations at 9:30,
that will get you to around plus 12-1, a hair above 12-1 on that parlay for Terrell. Let's get some mine here. Let's go Thunder plus the 7.5. Let's go with the Milwaukee Bucks minus 3.5. And I will go with the, where's that over that we liked, Scott? It was the Hawks. And yeah, I'm going to take
it. Or the Kings one.
I'm going to throw your lock in there. And I'm going to throw in the Kings and the Lakers in there also. That'll get me to plus 1230 also. So that's going to be OKC Thunder plus the 7.5, Milwaukee minus 3.5. And the overs in the Hawks and Grizzlies game and the Kings and Lakers game, that'll get us to plus 1230 for the games tonight. That'll bring us to the end of the show here, Scott. Any final thoughts for the slate or for the NBA tonight? And also let the people know where they can find you, man.
No, hoping for some good games tonight. It seemed like there were a lot of lines that seem a little bit too easy, which is usually a slippery slope. So we'll see what goes on there. But hopefully we all cash the locks, the dogs, the parlays, everything. And we can all celebrate together with the hundreds of thousands of dollars we'll make from those parlays. But other than that, though, happy to be on the show. You can find me at Reichel Radio on Twitter, R-E-I-C-H-E-L Radio, one word on Twitter. Besides that, still doing the weekly appearances on the NBA Propcast every Wednesday with Munaf. Besides that, doing editing for a bunch of podcasts, whether it involves the golf gambling podcast, the MLB gambling podcast, which is off season right now. Yeah. But you have the NBA gambling podcast, the Propcast, a lot of stuff going on. And I'm happy to be a part of it. Plus, got the fantasy football articles and the rankings. So staying busy. If you have any questions or any need for advice in fantasy football, check out my rankings every week, and I got you covered.
Yeah, we're keeping Scott busy over at SGPN with all the appearances he does on the shows and then doing all the editing stuff for the podcast, whether it's all the pods I do and then also the golf gambling podcast. Scott, I had a question for you. I know you do the editing for the golf gambling podcast. How many bleeps or how many explicits do you probably hear from Boston Capper on those pods that you do for him?
Are you talking about for the full episode or for like the 10 seconds that I'm clipping?
Probably both.
I'll take the over. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'll take the over.
Yeah. Yeah, if you aren't listening to the golf gambling podcast, you need to get on there.
The term that we use in the industry is explicit.
Yeah, Steve and Boston Capper over there, they complement each other so well because Boston Capper is the more like the guy that likes to drop the F-bombs, and then Steve is the guy that kind of likes to keep it clean. But definitely check out all the pods that are happening on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, guys. Hockey is in on absolute fire. Join us in the Slack channel, sg.pn/Slack. I will be back doing the NBA podcast with Will as soon as we get done here. And then, Scott, you're joining me for NFL later today?
Podcast.
Yeah, so look out for those two pods later on, and then hopefully we get this one dropped soon also. But enjoy the games. I mean, we talked about offline, so many games all day long with college basketball, college football, NBA, so much happening. So make sure to subscribe, like, and leave a review for all the pods. So with that being said, guys, have a great weekend cashing bets. Let's break the books off and let it ride.
basketball. Give me the ball because I'm gonna